I will use my usual approach, which you will see, hopefully in a moment, is to examine one issue in the parsha and to show you, firstly, some of the structural difficulties that are embedded in this parsha, which you have in front of you on this one sheet, and then attempt to resolve it. Now, the truth is I can actually show this to you in this parsha in a number of different events and episodes that occur, but I'm just choosing one. It's towards the end, and we'll read the psukim, and then perhaps we will attempt to see the overall structure as well as some of the difficulties that are inherent that you yourself will obviously be sensitive to. The pasuk says, "Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimidbar Sin l'maseh m'apei Hashem." This falls upon the heels of the Parshas Hamon that the Torah describes at great length. Klal Yisrael now travel al pi Hashem. As you know, all their traveling was al pi Hashem. The Torah later on, really in Bamidbar, describes this at great length. There's a famous series of psukim in Baal Oscha that talk about al pi Hashem yachin al pi Hashem yiso. And then the pasuk continues, "Vayachanu b'fidim ve'ein mayim lishtosah." So obviously, there's a problem. The problem is, of course, the lack of water. Pasuk Beis, "Vayarev ha'omim Moshe." They begin to quarrel with Moshe Rabbeinu. "Vayomu tenu lana mayim minishta." Let's have water. "Vayom alahem Moshe." Moshe says, "Matri buni madi maten asunas Hashem." Why are you quarreling with me? Why are you testing Hashem? "Vayitzma shom ha'om lamayim." They are now thirsting for water. "Vayolin ha'om na Moshe." "Vayom elama zehe elisonim mitzvayim lo misosi ves banai ves miknai batzama." This is really already a complaint that's beginning to become feverish in its pitch and its tones. I'm just pointing out, initially they asked for water, Moshe responds in Pasuk Gimel, "Vayitzma shom ha'om lamayim." They're stepping up to a different level, and with it, the complaint as well becomes considerably more querulous, more peevish. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in Pasuk Dalet, throws up his hands. "Vayitzak Moshe Hashem lemor, mo eseh l'am hazeh od ma'adus kolunim." So just a even cursory examination of Pesukim indicates that it begins with a complaint about water. Slowly it begins to, as I say, increase in its pitch and tones and volume, until we are at a point where Moshe Rabbeinu is frightened of his own life. "Od ma'adus kolunim," they're going to stone me. And Hashem responds in Pasuk Hey. I just want to read the Pesukim first and then go back and examine some of the individual issues. "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, avor lifnei ha'am, v'kach itcha mizipnei Yisrael, u'matcha asher yikisa bo es ha'yor, kach v'yotcha v'yolocha." Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take Zikna Yisrael with him and his staff. Pasuk Vav, "Hinni yomid fanecha shom al atzur b'chorei." Moshe Rabbeinu is told to go where? To Chorei. Chorei being Har Sinai. "V'ikisa batzur, v'yatsu v'menu mayim v'shasahom." Moshe Rabbeinu should hit the rock. We are probably familiar with the psukim in Bamidbar. And here we have already an earlier forerunner of that event, but here Moshe Rabbeinu is told to hit the rock, and water will cascade forth, and they'll be able to slake the thirst of the people. "V'yasken Moshe le'inei zikna Yisrael." It's done. "V'fnei am le'edom." Pasuk Zayin, "V'yikashe ha'amakom masom meriva." The place is given a name, two names actually. "Al Rib Bnei Yisrael, V'al Nasasam Es Hashem Leimor, Hayesh Hashem B'kibbeinu Im Oyim." I want to share with you, and the reason why I read the Pesukim is because I wanted to give you a chance to get an overall sense and impression of the Pesukim, and now we're going to examine each Pasuk individually, and we'll see the problematica involved in each Pasuk. The first Pasuk begins that Klal Yisrael travel. They are termed Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Hashem, Vayachanu Befidim Ve'ein Mayim Lishtosah. This last expression I find very troubling. The last expression, the pasuk Ve'ein Mayim Lishtosah, that describes the thirst of Klal Yisrael, to me is somewhat cumbersome and ponderous. Why is that? The Torah should have expressed itself in the following way: either Ve'ein Mayim La'am Lishtos, there was no water for the people to drink. The other possibility is to have used the construct form, the smichus state, namely, there was no water for the people to drink. But if I translate this phrase that the Torah utilizes, I would like to translate it literally. There was no water to drink the people. You see what troubles me? Anyone who has even a chush for the Hebrew language finds this expression to be absolutely hilarious. From a grammatical standpoint, you know what I'm talking about? Ve'ein mayim lishtosam. There was no water to drink the people. The Torah was written by, shall we say, someone who was highly intelligent. I believe the Ibn Shalom Baruch Hashem is not lack for intelligence. And we are amazed, and I am amazed by this expression. An expression that I find to be very, very troubling. And in general, when you read Sukkim, you have to read them very carefully. Sukkim were written very carefully, written very precisely, and here is an expression that seems to be just absolutely peculiar, totally without any foundation from a grammatical standpoint of the Chalal. What is the intent of the Torah in utilizing such an awkward formulation? Question one. Pasuk Beis. Vayarev ha'amim Moshe. Vayomru tinu lanu mayim minishte. And here again, this pasuk cries out for elucidation. When the Am contends with Moshe Rabbeinu, they turn to him using the plural form. Tinu! Pray tell, whom are they speaking with? I believe Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do they dress in Moloshen Rabbi? In the plural form. Tinu lanu mayim minishte. They are arguing with Moshe. The pasuk is very clear. Vayarev ha'amim Moshe. And yet the language they use is a Lashon Rabbim. Tinu lanu mayim minishta. That's question two. Question three. Moshe Rabbeinu's response. Vayom alahem Moshe. Mati rivuni madi. Mati nasunes Hashem. Why are you contending with me? Why are you quarreling with me? Why are you testing Hashem? Question number three, of course, is rather obvious. The pasuk indicated what exactly was happening. There was a personal struggle with Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk testifies in the beginning of Beis, Vayarev ha'am Moshe. They quarrel with Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction is a double one. Number one, why are you quarreling with me? But number two, Moshe adds, Matanasun es Hashem, why are you testing Hashem? From where did Moshe Rabbeinu infer that they were testing Hashem? The pasuk portrays a personal struggle with Moshe Rabbeinu. There is neither hide nor any kind of a remez that I see in the pasuk itself that would indicate that there was some sort of a nisayon against Hashem. Adam, you hear the question? Does it not trouble you?
It's troubling.
Baruch Hashem. So far we have three questions. Just simple questions that address the text. Pasuk Gimel. Vayitzmo sham ha'om lamayi. They are thirsting for water, which, as I said right away, indicates that somehow they stepped up a level in terms of the issue. Initially seems to be, okay, there's no water, and they ask Moshe, please provide us with some water. And right away, Moshe, his response does not seem to be Me'ein HaTaina. You familiar with that Gemara? The Gemara Shavuos, that in general, when I present the Taina to you, you should respond to the Taina. And here, it's Tanu Chitin V'Hoidel HaBeserim. Understand what I'm saying? Moshe Rabbeinu's response is not at all in sync, in tandem with the Taina that they had. That was question three. But question four was going to be in this pasuk. Vayitzma Shom Ha'am Lamayim. The Torah describes how they're thirsting for water. Vayolin Ha'am Moshe. And that sounds already pretty intimidating. Vayomer. I believe there's another problem here. Vayomer, Lashon Yachid. Who is talking? Klal Yisrael. This morning, if you heard Rabbi Schwartz, Shlita, he mentioned this particular issue. He said in the Torah you encounter what seems to be usages of Rabbim when we're talking about a Yochid and vice versa. The examples he gave one example that actually referred to a Gemara, it's a famous Gemara Menachos, also a cloud of Vilagon. But the example he gave, I think, was a beautiful example, it's really a classic example. When the Torah says, V'svartim lachem imachas ha-shabbos, v'yom aviyachem esoma ha-tznufa, Sheva Shabbos Tzmius Tiyen, the obligation of Sfira Sarmba. And the Torah indicates to us in the Parsha of Emor, where the mitzvah is mentioned, Usfartem. But the Gemara says in Menachos, that what does Usfartem, Lashon Rabbah, mean? Shetei Sfira L'Kolecha V'Yecha. Each person individually is obligated to count the Omer. when it comes to the mitzvah of counting the years of Shemitah leading to Yovel, there it says Misafarta Lecho Sheva Shapso Shodim Pashin Bahar, that devolves upon Bezdin, and there Lashon Yochid is used. So when the Torah uses Lashon Rabin, it refers to each Yochid. When it uses a Lashon Yochid, it refers to a Rabin. So here, the Torah uses Lashon Yochid. So based on that klal, so whom is actually talking? Klal Yisrael. Vayitzva Shom Ha'om La'mayim, Vayom Ha'om Ha'moshe, Vayomer. Lama Ze'el Yisrael Mitzrayim, La Mitzal Sivyas, Bonai, Yis Miknai, Batzama. You know, they're sort of, as I said, it's almost rising to a crescendo, the volume of the rebelliousness. Why did you take us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our cattle, Batzama. I thought the issue was they didn't have water to drink. They're not, I would say, at the moment where they're ready to die. It sounds like imminent death. Isn't that slight hyperbole? Or perhaps a bit more than slight hyperbole. It's also a very strange to understand exactly what's going on here. And beyond that, question number 5 in Pasuk Daled is even more amazing to me. By Yitzhak Moshe Hashem Leimor, Moes Elam Azeh Miyad Iskaluni. We're astounded. Moshe Rabbeinu firstly cries out to Hashem, his own life is in danger. But the problem is a problem of what? Water. Agua. H2O. And they need water to slake their thirst. Moshe should have responded to that particular need, provided them with water. What's the problem? We're on to Yule, and we run out of water. So what do? We go to the local makolet, and we purchase Mayim Chaim El Kelly. You know, Kelly, owned the water store, and we asked Dan Kelly, do you have any water for us? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu should have done, to stifle their complaint. Instead of addressing what seemingly is the root cause, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? That would be a logical, straightforward solution. What does he do? He throws up his hands in total despair. He screams, a big boy, they're going to stop me! That's all they want is agua. No more than agua. It's amazing, Moshe Rabbeinu. What got into him? Adam, you here? Question number 6. Also bewildering, or perhaps even more bewildering, is the next pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Avor Lifnei'am, V'kach Yitzcha V'Zikne Yisrael. What does Hashem do? He says, time for a dramatic production. Drama! Play the drums. I knew I could rely on you. Baruch Hashem. Moshe is told to bring the Zikne Yisrael with him. And his staff, Asher Gisa Boesayor, Kach Biyot Chava Lochta, and not only that, but where are they supposed to go? To Har Sinai, Hidden Yom Midfanach Hashem, Alat Sur Bechorei. A massive, major production. The Kisa Batsur, Dafka over there, the rock should be hit. Biyotu Menemayim Shasam. Why in heaven's name was this public demonstration necessary? And why is there an insistence that it transpire, take place where? On Har Choreh, in Har Sinai. And why must it take place in the presence of the Zikna Yisrael? Wow, unbelievable dramatic production that Moshe Rabbeinu is asked to effectuate and carry out when they just want some agua. Give me agua. Why do I use that mashal? I once saw, actually, someone showed me a commercial once for agua. Maybe you know what I'm talking about? About 25 years ago, so how would you know? The last time I saw some commercial somewhere. Agua, agua. Then they bring out some water that they're advertising, you know. Geyser. What water do they have in the United States?
Cold spring.
What's it called?
Crystal geyser.
What's it called?
Crystal geyser.
Crystal geyser, something like that. Ah, crystal geyser. You know, it solves all my problems. So you know, people are like that. Etc.
Agua, agua.
And all of a sudden they have the crystal geyser.
Ah.
It's unbelievable. That's exactly what's happening here. It's like a TV program. Question number 7. Every pasuk troubles me. Vayikra Shem Hamoko Maso Meriva. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the name, two names, the place, two names. Nomenclature is double. Why? Al Ribnei Yisrael, This, of course, reflects the earlier pasuk that we mentioned, pasuk Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Matu Rivuli Modi," and also Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Matu Nasunes Hashem." So you have a double name: Al Riv Bnei Yisrael, and the Metuvia Nasosunes Hashem Leimor Hayesh Hashem VeKivay Leimoyin. So, of course, my question is rather obvious over here. What should have been the order? Lichura. The order should have been, if you want to call two names, okay, go right ahead. Gesundheit, be my guest. But what should have been the order? First, Meriba, because that was the issue. The issue, as mentioned in Pasuk Beis, Vayarva Omni Moshe. It was a personal quarrel with Moshe Rabbeinu. Somehow Moshe Rabbeinu, shall we say, with his pashonos, with his interpretation, sees that there's much more to it than what seems to be at the surface. So you want to call it Masa as well, fine, but the order should be not Masa or Meriba, but rather Meriba or Masa. In general, you should know one of the klalim in the Torah, and Bechlal, you see this, that once the Torah utilizes this Seder, first Masa, Meriba, then what does it do when it explains the two names? It explains the last name that we ended with. First Meriba, it says, Al Riba Da Yisrael, and two, V'yad Nasosim, As Hashem Leimor, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu, Imoyim. So, again, we have a whole series of questions. They're all related to each other, as you can see. And, of course, when I read these psukim, and I cannot say that this is a recent vintage for me, but every time I come across these psukim, I have the same issues. Nothing has changed in the last 45 years, and maybe more than that. I have been troubled by these psukim for years. And I asked my father, Shalom, when I was probably 13, 14 years old, what is going on? I came to a certain maskana then, and over the years the maskana has just, shall we say, become more concretized in my mind. And then once the maskana becomes concretized, then you look around for, shall we say, chazal and midrashim to support your thesis, which of course I found as well, and that's exactly what I'm going to share with you. But you hear the questions? And by the way, I should mention, Masa, I assume you're familiar, I don't have a chumash with me, but if I can just borrow for a second, thank you very much. There's a pasuk in, I believe, where it's Hanan, if I'm not mistaken. I assume you're familiar with it. The Torah actually mentions there this incident. The Torah says over there in Parshas Beschanan, here it is. Paragvav Pasuk Tazayin in Parshas Beschanan, those who have a chumash can look at it. The Torah says over there, Lo sinasu es Hashem Elokeichem kasher nisisem ba'maso. Notice, the Torah tells us over there, don't test Hashem as you tested him in Masa. So, isn't it amazing that here in Vaschanan, the Torah, when it refers to this incident, what nomenclature does the Torah use over here? Only one, namely, Masa. The Torah does not even know about Meriba. And obviously, what was the Nisoyon that we tested Hashem with, namely, the one that Moshe Rabbeinu clearly detected over here, Hayesh Hashem B'Kirbeinu L'Moyim. The same issue, but there the Torah does not mention anything regarding Meriba. As a matter of fact, I assume you are familiar with, I'm sure you are, I have no doubt about it, that where else is this Nisayon mentioned besides in the Chumash over here in Beshalach in Varschana? Those are the only two places in the Chumash where you have a reference to it. But where else is this idea mentioned in, shall we say, something that we are very familiar with, I hope?
Meriba.
No, Meriba is a separate issue. That was the parasha where? Meriba? Of course, the Chukas. That's, of course, the question exactly there. Rishonim spent a lot of time discussing what exactly was the Chet. The fact that, according to Rashi Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he supposed to do with the rock? And said, what did he do? He was supposed to talk to the rock, and said he hit the rock. That's the way Rashi interprets the Chet. But there are at least 10 theories in Rishonim. The Rechaim HaKadosh has a whole list of them. What exactly? That's a different incident. May Meriva. Correct? But what am I talking about? I'm asking here, is there anywhere in the davening, I'll give you a further hint, that we mention somehow there's a reference to this incident that we are talking about over here, Masa? I'll give you more of a hint on Shabbos, more of a hint on Friday night, more of a hint, and guess what? That people, especially those who are, shall we say, Baruch Hashem, nurtured by Kalbach, have a lot of time to think about it. So, there are many people here who daven beautifully in Kalbach Minyanim. You know what I'm referring to. Is there any reference to any Nisayon that Klal Yisrael test Hashem in the first paragraph of the Chumash? Anyone have a sitter here?
Kiyom Masa Bamidbar.
Kiyom Masa Bamidbar. You remember that? As the Masa got before that, do you recall? Start again, I'm sorry. Excellent. How does it start? I'm sorry.
Al-Takshu Levavchem. Kim Riva.
Kiyom Masa Bamidbar. That's the way the Python in the express it over there. Al takshu levavchem kim riva kiyom masa bamibor. So there it mentions both. I have what to say about that, but I'm not going to do it now because I won't get to the end of the shiur. I'm sorry? Asher nisuni avosenu v'chaluni gam ruvah. Okay. Now, in order to resolve all these questions that I asked you, it's incumbent upon us to explore just for a few moments the attributes of a Jewish leader. A manig Yisrael, someone who's in a leadership position, one of his indispensable qualities has to be a certain sensitivity, or if you will, he has to have a keen antenna, and he has to be able to plummet the depths of communal behavior and somehow ferret out the root causes of motivation for the actions of Klal Yisrael. If he errs, or if he misinterprets the events that occur, even a slight error could lead to a distorted and false understanding of those actions, and ultimately the potential possibility for dire consequences and intensifying the problem. And there's leadership basically in Klal Yisrael, an amalgam of certain, shall we say, firstly, midos, character traits, spiritual strengths, and above all, shimusha shel Torah. The Chazal, the Gemara and Brachis, that some people are very familiar with. He's not here, David, but he knows the Masechta by heart. Dada shimusha shel Torah yesem b'libudah. That the obligation to be Mishamish Talmidei Chacham is even greater and more significant than the obligation to learn Torah. The Raya of the Gemara brings us from whom? Yeshua. From Yeshua ben Nun is actually probably a great model, but the Gemara brings the Raya from Elisha, who was Mishamish Eliyahu HaNavi. And certainly Yeshua ben Nun, the Pasuk says in Chumash, that Yeshua ben Nun Nar, Lo Yamish Mitocha Ol, he was the one who certainly ministered to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Ramban has this in Parshat Kisisa, so the Ramban and that Pasuk, where it says the Mishorso Yeshua bin Nun Nar Lo Yomish Mitocha Oel, the Ramban develops this idea. The Ramban says that Nar refers to a Mishoris. What does the word Mishoris mean?
Servant,
correct. One who ministers to others, and therefore Shimush is the function of a Talmid who carefully scrutinizes the behavior of his Rebbe and studies it, studies the deportment of his Rebbe for an extended period of time till he becomes a kind of surrogate Rebbe who has essentially absorbed osmotically the inside, the keen understanding of his Rebbe. That's what every Talmud should do. To a Rebbe who's a great God of Torah, let's say, or even the Rabbeim in this yeshiva, we have wonderful Rabbeim. It's kedai to be mishamish them. And when a Talmud is not sufficiently seasoned, and he's not sufficiently mishamish his Rebbe, then he's not worthy at that point of becoming a mani. There's a very fascinating Ramban, who's Chumash, also in Pasuk Kisisa. He was Yerach Sepsukim, but I didn't think about it. But the Ramban tells us something very fascinating. When Moshe Rabbeinu descends from Har Sinai, the Torah says that there are two responses of Moshe and Yeshua. You probably remember this. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yeshua is kol ha'am bereyo." Yeshua, we're talking about the Chet Ego. So Yeshua and Moshe Rabbeinu are both coming down from Har Sinai, and they both hear noises, and they react differently. Yeshua says to Moshe, "Vayomer Moshe, kol milchama b'machane." He thought, what was happening? There was a war going on. He heard all kinds of terrible noises and what have you. Moshe Rabbeinu responds, he says, Vayom ve'en kol anos gevura, ve'en kol anos chalusha, kol anos anochi shomea. So, Rashi quotes the Targum over there. What was the distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction and Yeshua's reaction? So Rashi says, even though they both heard the identical tonality, Yeshua hears it one way, Moshe Rabbeinu hears it another way, Yeshua calls it a sound of battle. I think the Targum over there translates, cold crop means a war. He saw it's a battle going on. And what about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu saw it the way the Kagan translates is called the Mechaychim. Called the Mechaychim means strident tones of blasphemy. They were involved in Chilufim and Gidufim Klapim Mala. They were cursing Hashem. Means a voice or a tone that somehow that torments the listener, pains the listener. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu heard. So the question that I'm about to ask right away, how is it possible? They're both observing the same event from the same, shall we say, distance, the same phenomena, and yet they both react differently. So the Ramban is a very famous comment. He quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, someone who's going to become a man of Klal Yisrael doesn't know how to distinguish between one tone and another tone. And the Medrash goes on to say, Moshe Rabbeinu Manig Yisrael Haya, listen to this language. Umakir binigune hakolos. What does that mean? Translate, Brian. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Manig Yisrael, therefore knows how to what?
Recognize
the niggid. Moshe Rabbeinu knows the tunes, knows the niggid. He knows if it's a Kalbach niggin or some other niggin. And in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it was not a niggin of milchama. It was a niggin of, shall we say, blasphemy that was being directed on high by Klal Yisrael. And basically, Moshe Rabbeinu's experienced eyes and ears, his sensitive auditory system, gave him the capacity to understand what was happening when Yeshua was at that point a novice. He was not apparently sufficiently seasoned and experienced and skilled to really pick up the tones of what is happening. And this is a gift which of course is given to a man of Yisrael. It's also undoubtedly a kind of siyata d'shmaya. We even refer to a pasuk that the Navi says in Yeshayo, the Navi speaks about, I assume you're probably familiar with Yeshayo, he speaks about Mashiach, v'haricho b'yiras Hashem. Mashiach has the capacity to somehow sniff or scent out Yiras Shamayim. Someone who's a great gadol b'Torah can actually scent out with the person in front of him. Is the Yirei Shamayim or not? Whatever the case is, I now want to go back to this parsha and quickly point out to you exactly that this was the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu that one sees inherently in the Pesukim. The Torah says, "Ve'ein ma'im lishtosam." Why does the Torah use that expression? Because Moshe Rabbeinu immediately detected that the problem was not a scarcity of water. But what was the problem? What?
Scarcity of Torah.
No, I'm not into that. You have the wrong person. You don't know me, obviously. That's clear. The answer is, I'm very into the text. And the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu somehow detected they had water. But they didn't have water that found favor in their eyes. They're missing, what did you call it, crystal?
Geyser.
Crystal geyser water. They had regular H2O faucet water. Agua. Correct. But not crystal geyser, not Poland spring water. Not mountain dew water. And how do we know that? Because had they had no water, the pasuk should have been written, Ve'imayim mishtiyasam, Ve'imayim lo mishtos. Doesn't say that. There was no water to drink the people, which means what? They had water, but correct, the water did not please them. And what were they doing was they were searching for a pretext to quarrel with Moshe Rabbeinu. And here they found a ploy that was masked by a thirst for water. And this is very common. Anyone who knows Chumash well, and knows all the tlunos of Klal Yisrael, even in this week's Pasha, I could show you another Pasha, I could analyze you, the same exact Mahalach, and it just takes a bit more time. But that's exactly what was happening here. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his keen antenna, understood that beneath the surface of this seemingly justified complaint lay an attempt at rebelliousness against Hashem Yisbarach. And that's why the Torah, in its ingenious formulation, the Torah uses this expression, Ve'ein ma'im lishtosa'am. And a second later, Vayorav ha'am min Moshe, Vayomru, Tinu lana ma'im minishta. Why does the Torah use such a formulation, Lashon Rabim? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu, with his acute hearing and auditory sensitivities and sensibilities, miyad understood, there's a hidden agenda they're telegraphing, namely, a rebellion against Hashem. And that's why they use Lashon Rabim. Tinu lana ma'im minishta. And by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu reacts, Matiribuni modi, matanasu nes Hashem. Notice, by the way, the moment that the people hear the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu, who tells them, why do you contend with me, why do you test Hashem, they change their language, and now they level their complaint using the singular grammatical form. Vayitz Moshom ha'am la'mayim, vayolun ha'am la'moshe, vayomer, lomazel yisadim mitzvayim, lohan bisosi, v'yaz banai, v'yaz miknai batzama. In that light, that they had water, but we're not satisfied with it, and we're looking for an excuse to rebel against Hashem, we can now understand why Moshe was instructed not simply to provide them with water. That was not the issue. But rather, what was Moshe instructed to do? Bring them to Har Sinai, put on a dramatic production, Chorev, with Zikna Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told, the Kisa Batsur, V'yatsur Rimenu Mayim Mishasam. In other words, basically, the idea of the dramatic public spectacle was designed to calm and placate the nation. And this also explains why the Torah tells us in Pasuk Zayin, why is the order inverted? Why is the order reversed? Because in reality, the thrust of their, shall we say, complaint was not of a personal nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. That would be the Meriva. But rather, what was the intent? The intent was a ploy to rebel against the Almighty. And that explains also why the Pasuk of Vayeshanan says, Lo tinasu es Hashem elokechem, kasher nisisem b'masa. Doesn't even mention the idea of Meriva. Because the idea of Meriva was only, shall we say, if you will, a front, in order to get to their real agenda, which was a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. I have a number of other diukim that I have no time for right now in the Pesukim, but I think you get my general gist. I believe this is La Mitzvah Shel Torah. I've been thinking about this for decades. Just over the years, I developed many more rayos to this thesis, and then I discovered a few other things I just want to mention along the way. How does the Torah describe the people? What term is used here a number of times to describe Klal Yisrael? It begins with Kol Adas V'nei Yisrael. But there's a term that's repeated again and again. Correct. So there's a very famous Chazal. I believe Ramban B'Shalach is the one who spilled the beans. Ramban refers to a medrash that B'nai Yisrael generally is the nomenclature used for individuals, and the term Am is always used in a pejorative sense. And you look throughout the Chumash, you see if you say that. The term Am is always used to describe the nether aspects of the nation. That is, when the nation is rebelling, when they are complaining, when they are bellyaching, the term Am is used by the Torah. And here the Torah again has telegraphed the rebellion by usage of that particular term. It's used many, many times. The term Am already indicates this negative, pejorative kind of notion. That's an Ramban quotes this in B'Shalach. You take a look. You learn Ramban's to say there. You will discover this as well. And just to show you that this is not something which I, shall we say, as a magician, came up with from his sleeve. In the course of years, I began to look at Mefarshim and discovered the following. There's a sefer called Haksava Kabbalah. I Xerox part of it. A very famous sefer. In Chumash, you may not have heard of it, by Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Becklenburg. He's an unbelievable gaon, and he writes the following. He says, on this first pasuk, Ve'imai Mishtasam, he's troubled by exactly the same question that I was troubled with. And he quotes a medrash chazal, that exactly indicates, I didn't see any midrashim. I generally like to look at the pesukim myself, everything. And I also use a very significant sefer that I'm very fond of. I have a sefer at home called Mayim Amukim. It's on Kol HaShas, Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a sefer that basically is unbelievable. Most comprehensive sefer I've ever seen in any, and all the parshas and chumash, and all the Tanakh, and all the Gemaras, and all the Rishayim and Achrayim. Where is that sefer located? Right here in the Grey Matter. It's called Mayim Amukim. So one has to draw from the Mayim Amukim, and that's what I try to do. I don't say it with any braggadocio. That's what we have to do. We have to examine the psukim carefully, as opposed to what people generally do. The moment they get to a Gemara, they run to the second and that Achron, and the fourth Achron, and the fifth Achron, and the sixth Achron. Why don't they first learn the Gemara with the Rishayim? And then learn the Achron. Okay, I'm not getting into the discussion right now. But I want to read you the Ksav HaKabbalah. He says, Uladati, according to my opinion, they had water. I'm just translating. The Ilu Omar Bein Mayim Mishtiasam, had the Torah used the expression, which would have been dramatically more correct, Oyamashma, Shalayala Mayim Afishtiya Mitzum Semes, they had no water at all. Or the Pamachas. But when the Torah uses the expression that Vein Mayim Mishtiasam, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, one of the great Achronim, that's Mashma, they had water. However, they didn't have the water that they were happy with. So explicitly, almost mefush. I found this many, many years after. I don't learn the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah regularly. And so every once in a while when I look at the Sefer, and I happen to be looking around, I happen to see this, I was thunderstruck. I was quite happy. I know an experienced leader knows how to distinguish between what I call the kernel of wheat and the chaff, which we spoke about the Malach of Zriah on Shabbos before, and he knows how to read between the lines. And if you read correctly, then you can react correctly, and you can lead the community in a proper way, you can respond in the right way, in order that you should correct, shall we say, any kind of problematica that exists. But the correction also has to be, as I said, in line with that which the community has done. So here, Klal Yisrael, in the episode of Masim Riva, really attempts to conceal the real unlearning. But because of the wisdom and perspicacity of Moshe Rabbeinu, he had the antenna, the ability to ferret out right exactly what the issue was, and that's what the Torah describes here. And it really, it's an amazing thing to me that you find, if you take a look at Chumash, and there are a number of complaints that are found in Chumash, not just here, there's actually another one in B'Shalach as well, and the same analysis I also have brought to bear in that parsha as well. And it's uncanny. It's exactly the same issue. There are tvei dinim. There are really two issues going on. One seems to be a personal issue, and then there's an underlying ideological issue, a philosophic issue, or more conceptual kind of issue. That's exactly what we have over here. And as I said, what we need are leaders who have this unbelievable antenna, who have the capacity to somehow, shall we say, pick up through their incredible intuition and the like, what exactly Klal Yisrael are concerned with and react accordingly. And the pasuk says actually in the Parshas Pinchas, "V'losia adas Hashem katzona she'en lehem roeh," that Klal Yisrael should not be a nation without a shepherd, a sheep without a shepherd, a flock without a leader. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. And here's a classic example. Again, what I was trying to show you is always what I try to show you. I'm very into text, those who know me a little bit. I'm very into text, whether it's here, whether it's in Tehillim, or whatever I do, to examine the language. Language is critical. Language is just literally, I think, it shouts at you right in the face. Don't you see that? I think you do agree with me, at least as far as this parsha is concerned. But I can show you this about every single parsha in Chumash, and practically every single parsha in Tanakh. If you read the parshas carefully, you'll come to unbelievable maskanas, and often these maskanas are borne out by Chazal and Medrash and also by the Mefarshim. They pick up everything. And the one who picked up everything, especially in his Perash al Torah, was the Ramban. Mind-boggling. The creativity of the Ramban, the insight and intuition of the Ramban. That's why I maintain that everyone has to learn Ramban al Torah. Besides Rashi al Torah, that's obvious. But besides Rashi, even one or two Rambans a week, I think, would be very, very helpful to you. And little by little, of course, in many years, Kol Ramban Ramban Mitztarefes L'Chesh V'Gobel. Just like Kol Pruto Pruto Mitztarefes L'Chesh V'Gobel. Ramban says over you, say this. Fundamental principles of Ramuna that every Jew has to have. Anyway, here's an example of, I think, a very striking, intriguing parsha, and how Moshe Rabbeinu, the great man of Yisrael, reacts to it.